Thank you to our producers for this week's episode: Danielle, Ginger, Mike to the D, Cat OJ, Devin, Savannah, Pixel Donut, Janelle, Michelle, Diane, Joy, Josh, Shorty, and welcome to our newest members, Lauren, Rebecca, and Araceli. Glad to have you all. Tonight's stories are from anonymous contributors, besides our third one, serendipitously from user Anonymous Panda. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
A few years ago, I, a female, lived in my car. I was fresh out of college and overwhelmed with student debt. And being young, dumb, and 21, I thought car living was a good way to save money. I live in Southern California, so the rent is really high, and the weather is temperate enough to make this possible year-round. One night, I decided to park in a neighborhood I thought I knew well. It was right by the beach and a couple of blocks next to an ex-boyfriend of mine, so I felt safe there as I had walked the streets at night plenty of times. I parked, locked the doors, hung up the curtains so no one could look in, plugged in my earplugs so the cars passing wouldn't wake me, and fell asleep. Now my earplugs were effective, but crappy, and I could always count on them falling off in the middle of the night. I actually preferred this, because it meant I could fall asleep but still hear my phone alarm in the morning. It was about 2 a.m. when I woke up to my earplugs already having fallen off, and something feeling wrong. Odd scratching noises were coming from the window. It started at the passenger side door, then moved to the back seat doors. I froze, unsure of what to make of it, painfully aware that I leave my windows slightly cracked at night for ventilation. I honestly didn't know what to do, so I stayed frozen, trying to make sense of it all. That's when the flashlight turned on, and some jerk unmistakably shone his light in, trying to find a crack in the curtains. And to my horror, he found one, and shone it right where my face was. It's hard to explain, but the position of my head made it so I could piece together what was happening, based on the light everywhere, but he couldn't see my eyes. The scratching then continued, and I knew I was screwed. This went from potential attempted car theft to someone knowing I was in the car. For clarity, I had up these psychedelic curtains at the time. Very eye-catching and hard to miss. Stupid, I know. I got blackout curtains immediately after this incident. This is why I suspect he knew I was in the car the whole time. He just put two and two together. Also, I don't know for sure, but the scratching noises sounded like he was trying to shove something in the cracks of my window and grab my door lock, but failing to gain any traction because they were barely cracked. During those times, I slept with a bat and mace by my seat, but I was literally paralyzed with fear and couldn't will myself to grab them. However, my last year of college, I took a class called RAD, Rape Aggression Defense, and remembered the number one rule: yell confidently and confrontationally at him. I wish I could say I screamed something badass, but what left my lips was a loud, aggravated, and forceful
"Excuse me?"
Like I was Link yelling at the Princess of Hyrule in that crappy TV show. It was super lame, but it echoed. To my immense relief, I hear the sounds of his footsteps running away at top speed, But I kid you not, the jerk was laughing as he ran like it was some stupid game. I was still paralyzed, but eventually him running gave me the courage to get up, grab my bat, and shove my way to the front seat where I started the car and sped away. I didn't see him, and I spent the night at a friend's house. I now live in an apartment. It wasn't until the next morning I realized I had parked one block away from a bar, and at the time of the incident, the bar had just closed. This past weekend, I went out on a date with an old friend from high school and was dropped back off at home around 11:30 p.m. I live in a two-story apartment building located near the outer edge of a town in a small residential area. And usually by this time, the streets are empty and it's very quiet. I entered inside through the front door and began up the stairs. I was 3 or 4 steps from the top of the stairwell when I saw somebody I've never seen before, sitting down on the floor, with his back leaning against my apartment door. Looking down at what I first thought was a phone, but was actually a box cutter, which he was playing around with, I was flabbergasted and quietly asked if he would move so I could get inside. But he didn't acknowledge my existence. I quietly walked back down the stairs and knocked on a fellow tenant's door, but didn't get an answer. I tried again on 3 others when somebody finally came to. I told him about the creepy dude with the box cutter, and he agreed to help me out and to have the police on the phone if anything were to escalate or if the man refused to leave. We both went up the stairs and the guy was still sitting there, messing around with his box cutter. I stood there observing while the other tenant demanded that he move out of the way or else. Once again, no answer. Not even a change in facial expression. I walked back down the stairs and dialed the closest apartment, and they were going to send over a trooper as soon as they could. After sitting outside for a few minutes and still talking to dispatch, the man must have really realized he wasn't welcome, and I watched as he walked right past me out of the apartment building and onto the street before disappearing into the distance. When the police arrived, they took statements from me and the other tenant, while another one of their units drove around to try and locate the man, which they did. However, because he wasn't breaking any laws, they weren't able to take action against him, but assured us that he would be charged with trespassing if he ever comes back. About 8 months ago, I finally moved out of my mom's house and got my own place. For the first few months, it was fine. In fact, it was great. 3 months after I moved in, I started getting phone calls and even flowers from an unknown person. I didn't really think anything of it at first. Gradually, I started to notice things going missing from my kitchen and living room. I would sometimes unplug the TV before going to bed, and it would be on in the morning. I started going to bed earlier out of fear, and I didn't go downstairs until the morning. My bedroom started to feel like a prison. My brother mentioned the skybox incident in his post, which was the breaking point for me. I had an AV transmitter, something like that anyway, installed so I could watch cable in my bedroom. One night I turned it on to see someone flicking through the channels, and I freaked the heck out. The incident made me go to my brother a few days later at a party. When I told him, he looked at me like I was crazy and said I was being paranoid. Eventually, he started to take me seriously and offered to stay at my house for a few nights on the condition our younger brother could tag along. Reluctantly, I said yes. He's 17. In the 4 days they stayed, not one phone call. No one came in the house. I found this to be even more worrying. Either the guy had given up or had been watching my house. Incredibly creepy either way. A couple of days later, he turned up again, and this time I was frantic as I could hear him walking around the house and watching TV. I started to worry he was going to come upstairs, so I called my brother and told him to get the heck over there. I stood by the window of my bedroom watching out for his car. My younger brother, who should not have been involved in this at all, pulled up first and stayed in his car until my other brother arrived. When he did, they jumped over the fence that leads to an alley to the right of the house, all while staying on the line with me. When they got to the kitchen window, he went quiet for a second and said something like,
"All right, he's in your living room. Don't move and stay in your room."
To actually hear my brother saying he could see him terrified me. Part of me wanted to believe that I was crazy. So my brother explained that he needed to hang up to call the cops. I literally begged him not to hang up. I could tell he was freaked out as well, though, so I told him it was okay. He called me back on my cell phone, which was not on silent. And I'm certain it could have been heard downstairs. I hung it up as fast as I could and I put my ear to the door. Around a minute later, I heard the patio door, which sticks, opening. Thinking it was safe, I opened my door, and when I did, I saw a man in a black trench coat with a baseball cap on walking up the stairs. I shut the door and pushed my wardrobe in front of it as quietly as I could. Then I heard my brothers running up the steps. There was a struggle, and I heard the man shout. I moved the wardrobe and saw my younger brother picking up a knife on the stairs. That's about all I can tell you. I will say that the guy, aka my ex-stepfather, is not a bad person. He has suffered from mental problems all his life. His daughters haven't spoken to him in over a decade. After finding out it was him, I felt terrible. I probably would have gone downstairs to speak to him if I had known it was him. The poster's brother also shared his version of the story and what happened. That'll be in the next bonus episode on patreon.com/nightmaresociety. This was back around 2004, when online dating wasn't as prevalent as it is now. I had met and gone on a few dates with local guys, and nothing had come of it. One evening I was searching and I happened upon someone who was my age and had almost identical tastes in music and hobbies and interests as me. I messaged him and we started chatting. It seemed interesting enough, so we agreed to meet up for coffee downtown. I didn't notice anything off-putting as we ordered our coffee and hung out for a little while. We talked about mundane things, and I found out he was a medical student at a local university. He seemed like a normal guy until after we finished our coffee and he wanted to go for a walk around the city. It was around this time that I noticed his demeanor start to change. He seemed to grow tense, and he got this gleam in his eye. He kept rubbing his hands over his thighs as if to dry off sweaty palms. He got very quiet. I started to get nervous. I noticed that in our strolling, he was leading me further and further away from the populated area downtown. My attempts to continue conversation were met with a half response and mumbles from this now heavy breathing, increasingly weird acting guy. I suggested that we needed to go back toward downtown, and I turned and started to go back the other direction, and he reached out and grabbed my arm.
No, wait.
He half breathes, half mumbled.
You need to sit down. There's something important I need to tell you.
Alarm bells were going off in my head like crazy. I knew I had to get away from this guy, but by this point we were far enough away from the downtown crowd that there would be no one to come to my immediate aid. I numbly allowed him to guide us over to a bench and sit down. He still held fast to my arm. He turned and stared at me in a way I can only describe as a predator eyeing prey, and he menacingly and proudly disclosed that he had been watching me for a very, very long time. He began to rattle off all this information he had been gathering about me. He knew which bars my friends and I hung out at, and liked to listen to me laugh and talk with others. He would just hang back in the crowd and watch me. He knew where I lived. He knew where I worked, when I worked. He knew where I went to school, when I had classes. He said he had been following me for quite some time. And then he said when he found me on the dating site, he specifically tailored his profile to mirror mine so that he could finally get me. Still clutching my arm, he slid his other hand over to squeeze my thigh. And now that he had me, he was never going to let me go. The whole time this guy was rambling, I was acting nonchalant and nodding like none of it was a big deal, while inside I was freaking out. I subtly had pulled out my phone and was texting guy friends that I was in danger and needed immediate help. One of them responded that he was in that area and he raced over to where I was. My heart was pounding out of my chest as I saw my guy friend's truck come down the street. I waited until he was close enough for me to reach, and I ripped myself away from the grip of the creepy guy beside me and started to run. The creepy guy began to chase after me, screaming obscenities. I could feel him gaining on me as I threw myself in the bed of my guy friend's truck and he sped away, the creepy guy still on the sidewalk shouting and swearing. This was the last time I fooled with online dating. I have no idea what this creepy guy was intending, but I have never been more terrified in my life. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out bonus content over at patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Or if you would just like to chip in and support the podcast, it would also be greatly appreciated. Until next time.